decisions now, not for a couple of days. She looked past me, out the window over the sink.
You think I'm crazy?
Impulsive. I sat down on the floor and stroked her arm.
It is strange for me, isn't it?
She closed her eyes and kneaded her forehead.
Maybe I'm still medicated.
I hoped that was it. I'm sure that's all it is. You need a couple of days more rest.
What if they botched the operation?
They didn't. You wouldn't be walking and talking. She patted my hand, still looking abstracted.
Yeah, sure. You have some juice or something?
I found some white grape juice in the refrigerator and poured us each a small glass. I heard a zipper and turned around, but it was only her leather suitcase. I brought her drink over. She was staring intently, slowly picking through the contents of the suitcase. Think something might be missing? She took the drink and set it down.
Oh, no, or maybe. Mainly, I'm just checking my memory. I do remember packing the trip down, talking to Dr. Spencer.
She backed up two steps, felt behind her, and sat down slowly on the bed.
Then the blur. You know, I was sort of awake when they operated. I could see lots of lights. My chin and face were in a padded frame.
I sat down with her. I remember that from my own installation, and the drill sound.
And the smell. You know you're smelling your own skull being sawed open, but you don't care.
Drugs, I said.
That's part of it. Also looking forward to it.
Well, not in my case.
I could hear them talking, the doctor and some woman.
What about?
It was Spanish. They were talking about her boyfriend and shoes or something. Then everything went black. I guess it went white, then black.
I wonder if that was before or after they put the jack in.
It was after. Definitely after. They call it a bridge, right?
From French, yeah. Pont Metal.
I heard him say that. Ahora el puente. And then they pressed really hard. I could feel it on my chin, on the cushion.
You remember a lot more than I did.
That was about it, though. The boyfriend and the shoes, and then click. Next thing I knew, I was lying in bed, unable to move or speak.
That must have been terrifying. She frowned, remembering.
Not really. It was like an enormous lassitude, numbness. As if I could move my arms and legs or speak if I really had to, but the effort would have been tremendous. That was probably mood drugs, too, to keep me from panicking. They kept moving my arms and legs around and shouting nonsense at me. It was probably English, and I just couldn't decipher their accents in my condition.
She gestured, and I handed her the grape juice. She sipped.
If I remember this right, I was really, really annoyed that they wouldn't just go away and let me lie in peace. But I didn't say anything because I wouldn't give them the satisfaction of hearing me complain. It's an odd thing to remember. I was really being infantile.
They didn't try the jack? She got a faraway look.
No. Dr. Spencer told me about that later. In my condition, it was better to wait and have the first time be with someone I knew. Seconds count. He explained that to you?
I nodded. Exponential increase in the number of neural connections.
So I lay in a darkened room then for a long time. Lost track of time, I suppose. Then all the things that happened before we jacked, I thought it was a dream. Everything was suddenly flooded with light, and a couple of people lifted me and bit me on the wrists, the IVs, and then we were floating from room to room.
Riding a gurney. She nodded.
It really felt like levitation, though. I remember thinking, I'm dreaming, and resolving to enjoy it. An image of Marty floated by, asleep in a chair, and I accepted that as part of the dream. Then you and Dr. Spencer appeared. Okay, you were in the dream, too. Then it was all suddenly real.
She rocked back and forth, remembering the instant we jacked.
No, not real. Intense. Confusing.
I remember, I said. The double vision, seeing yourself. You didn't recognize yourself at first.
And you told me most people don't. I mean, you told me in one word, somehow, or no words. Then it all snapped into focus, and we were...
She nodded rhythmically, biting her lower lip.
We were all the same. We were one thing.
She took my right hand in both of hers.
And then we had to talk to the doctor, and he said we couldn't, he wouldn't let us.
She lifted my hand to her breast, the way it had been that last moment, and leaned forward. But she didn't kiss me. She put her chin on my shoulder and whispered, voice cracking.
We'll never have that again?
I automatically tried to feed her a gestalt, the way you do, jacked, about how she might be able to try again in a few years, about Marty having her data, about the partial reestablishment of neuron connection, so we might try. And a fraction of a second later, I realized, no, we weren't connected. She can only hear something if I say it. Most people never even have it once.
Maybe they're better off,
she said, muffled and sobbed quietly. Her hand moved up to squeeze my neck and caress the jack. I had to say something. Look, it's possible you haven't lost it all. There might be a small fraction of the ability still there.
What do you mean?
I explained about some of the neurons homing back into the jack's receptor areas.
How much might be there?
I don't have the faintest idea. I'd never even heard of it until a couple of days ago. Though I knew with sudden certainty that some of the Jills must be that way, unable to make a really deep connection, Ralph had brought back memories of some who had hardly seemed jacked at all.
We have to try. Where could we... Could you bring the equipment back from Portobello?
No, I'd never get it off the base. And be court-martialed if I tried.
Maybe we could find a way to sneak into the hospital.
I laughed. You don't have to sneak anywhere, just buy time at one of the jack joints.
But I don't want that. I want to do it with you.
That's what I mean. They have double unis, two-person universes. Two people jack in and go someplace together. That's where the Jills took their customers. You can screw on the streets of Paris, floating in outer space, riding a canoe down rapids. Ralph had brought us back the weirdest memories.
Let's go do it.
Look, you're still beat from the hospital. Why not get a day or two rest and then...
No!
She stood up.
For all we know, the connections might be fading while we sit here and talk about it.
She picked up the phone off the table and punched two numbers. She knew my cab code.
Outside?
I got up and followed her to the door, afraid I'd made a big mistake. Look, don't expect the world.
Oh, I don't expect anything. Just have to try it, find out.
For someone who didn't expect anything, she was awfully eager. It was infectious. While we waited for the cab, I went from thinking... Well, at least we'll find out one way or the other, to being sure that there would be at least something there. Marty had said there would be a placebo effect, if nothing more. I couldn't give the cab a specific address, since I'd only been there once. But I asked whether it knew where the block of jack joints was, just outside the university, and it said yes. We could have biked there, but it was the neighborhood where that guy had pulled a knife on me. It had started pretty low and gone downhill, and I figured it might be dark by the time we finished our experiment. It was a good thing the cab turned off the meter while we went through security. The shoe in charge saw our destination and jerked us around for 10 minutes, I supposed to watch Amelia's discomfort, or to try to get some sort of rise out of me. I wouldn't give him the satisfaction. We had the cab let us off near the end of the block, so we could walk the length of it and check the menus in each joint. The price was important. Payday was 2 days away for both of us. I made 3 times as much as she did, but the Mexican excursion had brought me down to less than $100, and Amelia was flat. There were more Jills than pedestrians. Some of them offered to join us in a 3-way. I hadn't known that was possible. It sounded more confusing than alluring, even under good conditions. And being more intimately linked to the Jill than to Amelia would be a disaster. The place with the best double uni deal was also one of the nicest, or the least sleazy. It was called Your World, and instead of car crashes and executions, it offered a menu of explorations, like the French tour I'd taken in Mexico, but more exotic. I suggested the underwater tour of the Great Barrier Reef.
"I'm not a good swimmer," Amelia said. "Would that make a difference?"
"Me neither. Don't worry. It's like being a fish." "I'd done this one." "You don't even think about swimming." It was $1 a minute, cash, or 2 minutes for $3, plastic. 10 minutes up front. I paid cash. Keep the plastic for emergencies. A stern-looking fat lady, black with a springy forest of white hair, led us to the booth. It was a small cubicle just over a meter high, with a padded blue mat on the floor, 2 jack cables hanging from the low ceiling.
"Time start when the first one plug in. Y'all want to take your clothes off first, I suppose. Place been sterilized. Y'all have a good time now."
She turned abruptly and bustled away. "She thinks you're a Jill," I said.
"I could use a second income."
We entered the place on our hands and knees, and when I shut the door, the air conditioner started to whir. Then a white noise generator added a steady hiss.
"Does the light make a difference?"
"It goes off automatically." We helped each other undress, and she lay down the right way, on her stomach, facing the door. She was rigid and trembling slightly.
"Relax,"
I said, kneading her shoulders.
"I'm afraid nothing will happen."
"If nothing happens, we'll try it again." I remembered what Marty had said. She really should start off with something like jumping off a cliff. Well, I could tell her that later. "Here." I slid over a diamond-shaped pillow that supports your face on the chin, cheekbones, and forehead. "This'll help your neck relax." I stroked her back for a minute, and when she seemed looser, I moved the jack interface into place over the metal socket in her head. There was a faint click, and the light went out. Of course, after thousands of hours, I didn't need the pillow. I could jack standing up or hanging upside down. I groped for the cable and stretched out so we were touching arm and hip. Then I jacked in. The water was warm as blood, and it tasted good, salt and seaweed on my lips as I breathed it in. I was in less than 2 meters of water, bright coral formations all around, tiny fish with brilliant colors ignoring me until I came close enough to be a danger. A small green moray eel, face like a cartoon villain, stared at me from a hole in the coral. Volition is strange when you're jacked like this. I decided to go off to the left, although there was nothing obvious there, just a plain of white sand. Actually, the person who had recorded the trip had a good reason to check it out, but the customer wasn't in contact with him or her at that level. Nothing but the sensorium amplified. Sunlight, refracting through the ripples on the surface, made a pleasant shimmering pattern in the sand. But that wasn't why we had come here. I hovered over 2 eye stalks that poked out of the sand, twitching, agitated. Suddenly, the sand exploded underneath me, and to the left and right, and a tiger-striped manta ray flew out from where it had been hiding, under a few centimeters of sand. It was huge, easily 3 meters wide. I shot forward and grabbed a wing before it had time to gather speed.